This episode of I Ride a Bike is supported in part by Allspeed, the official bike shop of the podcast. With convenient locations in Portland, Bethel, and Carrabassett Valley, Maine, Allspeed is the local shop for everything bike. For more information and to check out their latest hot deals, please visit allspeed.com. Hi, I'm Seth Ballier, the host of I Ride a Bike, where each episode we follow one basic premise: to never grow old, one ride at a time, and the stories that follow.
Take me back to the times when we would grab our bikes and ride the days into the night. Though our eyes would soon be open for the moment we were golden.
And welcome to another episode of I Ride a Bike, the podcast. It's actually going to be the last episode of season four, and I couldn't be more excited to be sitting down with today's guest. He is a well-experienced rider, having been riding for a better part of nine decades. So I'm sitting here with Don Robitaille, and he's a 91 years young. And you might have seen him on some local news stations. I'll have some links to that. But very excited to be sitting down. Thanks for inviting me to your house today.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Nice to have you.
It's a wonderful hot day here in Maine, but we're here in summer. We can't complain, right?
Right.
All right. So I'm going to start off with the basic question of, why do you ride a bike?
Because it's fun. You see things. For instance, when you're in the car, you don't see a bird's nest or an owl or, you know. But on the bike, you see the thing and you hear what you see, and you can gather more enjoyment out of it. Plus, it's good for your physical health.
Yeah, you know? All the input from everything, the sights, you can smell things, you can hear things.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite parts is that you can actually stop if you want to really take it in.
Yeah.
But when then you keep going.
When you're in the car, you don't stop. You just, that was nice. Yeah,
exactly.
Turn around.
Yeah. So as I introduced, you're the most experienced. I'm going to use the word experienced. The most experienced rider I've talked to date, having ridden for better part of eight or almost nine decades. Yeah. Right. So, where did you grow up? Are you from Maine originally?
In the house next door.
No way! Really?
Yeah.
Here in Lewiston, Maine.
Then we moved across. About 100 feet from here, then I bought this house after I got married.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. So you've been on this block your entire life. That's something else.
We've been living here about 65 years.
No kidding. Yeah. That's incredible. Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
So you must like it here.
Yeah, I like it.
All right.
It's all I can afford.
Yeah. Well, it's not a bad spot to be. Yeah. So do you remember back to your earliest memories? Do you remember first bikes as a young kid on this street?
When I was in the seventh grade, I got a paper route in the morning, and I did that all through high school. For 5 years, till the day I joined the Navy back in 1951, right out of high school, after I graduated. So I had a 5-mile paper route every day. Not Sunday, they didn't have study paper then. Not the Southern Journal.
Yep.
And I never missed a day. And I rode my bike through the winter and the summer.
Did you get any special awards for never missing a day?
No, they don't even know I did.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a low key then, you know?
Yeah, sure. Do you remember what bike you were riding at that time?
I had a Schwinn bike with a nice, with a flashlight in the front, you know, with a bell and a chain guard, you know, which you don't, you don't see too many today, you know?
Yeah, sure.
It's old Schwinn, yeah.
Do you remember how you got that bike?
I bought it out of right downtown here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you have to save up your own money to buy it?
Yeah.
Do you remember what was your job for saving up to do that?
I used to sell Christmas trees in the winter. Oh, yeah. Go in the woods with an axe, pick up three or four Christmas trees to get a quarter for them, or
A quarter, yeah. I'd say they've gone up a little bit over the years, but yeah. So it must have taken you several Christmases to save up to buy that Schwinn then.
Yeah.
And then were you basically, that was your bike until you joined the Navy?
Yeah, I joined the Navy, then I got married while I was in the service. And after I came out, I raised my family. I didn't ride a bike till I was like 40 years old.
Oh, really? So you took a good 20-year break or something like that.
I bought a bike. I bought a canoe. I bought some cross-country skis. I was kind of lazy before, you know. If you have to go to the store, well, gee, why walk when you have a car, you know?
Sure, right.
Then there's just like a complete change of environment and activities for me.
Yep. When you were in the Navy, I'm assuming you were stationed overseas at some point.
Yeah, I was over in Europe on a destroyer repair ship. Yeah.
Yep. And did you ever get on a bike at all when you were in Europe at all, or never really?
No.
Never came up.
It was like work.
Yeah. Right. So, and at that point, I mean, cycling at that age, it was just something you did as a kid to deliver newspapers, and it wasn't really so ingrained in your life at that point, basically.
I just felt good riding a bike. It's just like fresh air and exercise. And I mean, I was lazy before. I admit it, you know. So it made me complete different person.
Yeah. Why did you get back into it? For the freedom of it or for the exercise?
No particular reason. Yeah. I just turned 40.
Time to get back on a bike. Yeah. Were you longing for the days of a paper route and the simplicity of it all?
Yeah. That was tough.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
You have to push your bike in the winter in 2 feet of snow. They
weren't exactly lightweight back then either. So when you were in your 40s then, did cycling then become more part of your day-to-day life?
I do a lot of weekend bike rides, you know. Maybe 10, 20 miles. So that was a lot then, you know, a regular one speed bike.
Yep. And so that was in the early 70s then? Yeah. Something like that. And so you had a single speed bike at that point then?
Well, when I was about, maybe in the 80s, my son was 10 years old and he wanted a 10 speed bike. I said, "What do you mean 10 feet? You can only go one speed at a time." You know? Yeah. He said, "No, Dad, there's 10 different speeds." Yeah, you can only go. I never got it, you know.
Didn't quite click. Yeah.
He had a paper route too.
Oh, he did,
So he bought a bike, and I like that. So I got one, you know.
And did that change your whole attitude on riding?
Yeah.
How so?
I just left the bike. You go places, you see things, and fresh air, and you're by yourself, and... Yeah. You know what it is. Yeah. You're biking yourself, you know?
Yeah, sure. And when you were out riding with the 10 speeds now, where you could actually get going some speed.
Yeah.
Did having 10 speeds allow you to go farther on rides?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Do you remember any particular rides that were like the longest rides you've done?
Well, about that time, I started a May 30th event. I would bike to Old Orchard.
From Lewiston?
For me, with some of my kids.
Yep.
Three of my five children had done it with me different times, some many times, and I'd ride back in the car. I had a bike rack. It was like 50 miles.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a solid 50 miles.
It was a big event that kids look forward to, and I used to go a different way, but when they started going with me, they go through Freeport.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yep.
And it was okay.
So it wasn't a straight line then. Yeah. You were going right angles to stay off the highways and everything. Yeah. Yep.
When I go through a portal, I get lost every time.
I still do, you know, and I've lived there more than half my life. So it's changing every day now. Yeah. So was that like a Memorial Day ride then? Yep.
May 30th ride, yeah.
Yep.
And was that? Kids all talk about how it rained like... Two years in a row, it rained on May 30th, and we got as far as Freeport. We had to come back. It just rained so hard.
Yeah.
So 2 years in a row, the third year, like, I think two of my kids came, and my son-in-law came. And
Yeah. Did that continue for several years, or did you?
Yeah.
How long?
We haven't done it for 10, 12 years, but we did it many years. And then as the kids got married, they're boyfriend or spouse came with us, and then I would treat them all to a to a clam bake dinner.
Down,
kind of inducement.
Was it actually, did you actually go to the clam bake down?
Yeah, down the Bailey's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Man, I wish I could have joined on one of those.
Yeah.
And about how many people, like at the largest size, how many people were riding along together?
On those events, maybe three or four. I mean, it wasn't a lot.
Yep, sure. Just a
Some
family
do
thing.
Once and that's it.
Yep.
More than they want to do.
Right, sure. And I was trying to picture how many people you were buying clam dinners for, you know. So
yeah,
four or five people is affordable.
Yeah. It was fun, really.
Yeah.
I think the free meal induced them.
Yeah, that, at the finish line, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, only if we came, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And how long did it take to ride those 50 miles?
Oh, boy, like 6 hours.
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah. I get lost and going through Portland. And
yeah, stopping along the way.
Yeah, stop. Taking breaks. And rest up a lot. And
yeah.
The first year that I went with my son was the first year that someone came with me. He had a 10-speed also, and it broke down like halfway, the gears. You could only shift it, like the low gear or something. And he had He never went again.
Yeah, that did it for him.
Yeah.
Did it in. Yeah. I could understand that, you know. Yeah. But I'm assuming with all the your experience riding bikes, you're a somewhat decent mechanic. Do you work on your own bikes?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Has that been something you've done since all the way back to the paper route days? Or
yeah, I can do everything except two of the wheels. The wheels are bent. I can't.
Yep.
I'm not inclined enough to do that.
Yeah.
But change the gears and put a spoke in sometime when it's emergency, and change a flat, put new front sprocket, the new cassette, and new derailleur, and do all that now.
Yeah, yeah. And so I know that you've done some pretty long rides as well. So I mutual friend, I guess, Charmaine is the one that connected us finally.
She rides a lot, too.
She rides a lot. So we'll get her on the podcast at some point. But she reached out to me, and she sent me a link to the news article that you were in.
Yeah.
But I know that at some point you'd ridden across the country a couple times.
Yeah.
What got you thinking that was a good idea?
Well, that's a good question. Before I retired, when I had almost 35 years in with my company, and I went to a travelogue film by a guy named Russ Perry. He's a main guy, mm-hmm. Bowdoin graduate, and he started a travelogue business. He still does it today.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen him several times. He had gone across country. Probably a little younger than I was, you know, when I was about 50, 60, and so I went to that film. It was an L.L. Bean in Freeport.
Yep.
I said, wow, that's what I want to do.
Really?
And so when I retired at age 60, at age 90, or 60 and 90,
yeah, in 90, yeah.
I was part of a sales team at the time, part of an 8-man sales team. And so when I announced I was going to get retire, my boss said, "You're part of an 8-man team. You're the fittest. You're the oldest. They're all like smoking and donuts. And why do you want to retire? You're making good money." And I said, "I want to ride a bike across country. You see the people with saddlebags on their bike and they go a long way." He says, "Yeah." I said, "That's what I want to do." He says, "You want to ride your bicycle?" I did.
Yeah. So was he flabbergasted by that?
He thought it was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what? You're crazy, you know?
Yeah. So that literally, when you saw that movie, though, that was the light bulb moment, like the inspiration.
Yeah.
You're like, I have to do that.
Yeah. So for 10 years, I didn't do it.
You didn't?
No.
So from 60 years old to 70, you didn't do it?
No.
What did you, I mean, in that time,
when
were you?
When I was 70 years old, well, for 10 years, I've been telling my friends and my family, next year I'm going back across country. So I did this for 10 years.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah.
So we were at a party one time with some biking friends, and as usual, I said, I'm going back across country next year. My wife said, "Don, you keep saying that, but you never do it." I said, You're right. So I said, "Next year I am going to bike." So I bought the map from Adventure Cycling. This is like $100. Well, you know what they are.
Yeah.
So once I spend money on this, I'm going to do it. So I called the local newspaper, a friend of mine, he's a photographer. His name is Russ Dillingham. I said, Russ, next year I want to bike across country. This is like in December. So he put a big front page picture of me riding a bike and hanging on a wall.
Okay, cool.
He says, so that kind of made me determined not to back out. Like, I got a sore back or
right.
Chicken out, you know?
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
Hold you accountable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you start training for that? I mean, that's a...
No,
that's
you
just got on your bike and rode?
I'd never been anywhere loaded on the bike. Yeah. So I practiced before I went.
Yep.
I put some pieces of wood in my saddlebags.
Okay.
Yeah. I borrowed all my bags. I couldn't afford to buy the bags.
Yeah.
I borrowed everything. I rode around town. I rode up Golf Hill and Obanaba, which is a big hill.
Yeah.
So my dream was to go alone. One of my daughters and my kids said, Dad, you're going to... We'll never find you. You're going to get robbed. You'll be in a ditch someplace. So they kind of made me try to get someone to go with me. So I put an ad in the Adventure Cycling magazine. And about 25 replies came. One from England. It's a lady wanted to go. I said, my wife probably wouldn't like it if I go with a lady.
Sure.
So about half wanted to go from west to east. That's how the wind comes.
Yep.
And the other half wanted someone to follow them. Follow us with their uncle or their husband, and says, why? So what? In case. I said, in case of what? Well, it might rain. So, well, it's going to rain, and you're going to be gone many months. It's going to rain.
Yeah.
So one man from out west said, he just retired. I was 70. He was 65. He says, I'll go with you. So we I don't have email, so but by mail we corresponded, and so he and I started together. He flew in.
Yep.
And my wife drove us to Bar Harbor.
Yep.
And we dipped my front wheel in the Atlantic Ocean and spent the night there. Next morning, we left Bar Harbor. Took us 3 days to get here. We spent the weekend here. Then we left together. And he lasted 2 weeks. He just couldn't take it.
Really?
Yeah. He was a big guy and... just hard to get along with. Maybe it's me that's hard to get along with. But so he quit after 2 weeks, and he quit in Fort Ticonderoga, New York.
Oh, really? Yeah, no kidding, yeah.
Yeah, had enough, and we parted as friends. We weren't getting along that well,
yeah.
To be honest with you.
Yeah.
We had different nature and vocab and language and things, but he left, and then I was alone, so... I did something very bad. I didn't tell anybody. Didn't tell my kids.
Oh, really?
That I was alone now.
Yeah, because they would try to stop you.
So
or
I said
something.
To myself, "What if I get hurt somewhere? They think I'm in Michigan someplace. What I'm up in, you know, Vermont or someplace, you know." So I called him. I said, "My friend left." So, oh, Dad, you have to come back. I said, "No, I'm not." Then they couldn't stop me. So
did you do regular check-ins along the way and let them,
yeah.
let them know you were okay?
Calling I made a list.
Every night.
I call every 2 days.
Yep.
Like I had a big list. So we had 5 children. It said Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday's my wife. The next Tuesday, somebody else. And
yeah.
So they always knew where I was.
Yep.
Had a map. They would put a little pin there.
Nice.
They knew where
they
I
could
was.
Follow along.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how did you plan the route? Was that part of the map service that you...
Yeah, just followed the Adventure Cycling map.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. And along the way, did you run into any, like the big thunderstorms or any of these calamities? Or
yeah,
any,
I forget what state it was, but one time I went in, I was camping at a park, and the next town over, where I went the next day, they had a big picture in the paper that they had ice cubes for hail. I didn't get it, but like, wow. I mean, it was like a lot of ice cube size hail.
And that would not have been a fun thing to have when you're on the ride. Yeah, absolutely.
But it was kind of windy that night. Mm-hmm. My tent blew against a fence, and I had to get it back, and it was raining. And
so you camped most of the time or the entire
time? I
camped,
except that when it was very bad weather, I'd look for a motel.
Yep, sure, yep.
Or a youth hostel.
Yep.
Yep. Found a few of those, not too many, not enough, but I thought it was a cheap way to go, you know, like $10, $8.
Sure.
Yeah.
And as you were riding, did you end up linking up with other riders along the way and riding for segments with other people or
yeah,
at all?
I met with some people. After this guy left, I met this man with a real 10-speed bike. He had a lawn chair strapped to his back, to his back carrier. And he wanted to ride with me. And I says, I just got divorced from this guy. I'm not ready, but we can ride together.
Yeah.
So we stopped for the place to eat. I said, I'm going to go get a sandwich. And he says, I have my own food. I'll wait for you. I'll eat my sandwich. I said, what do you have? He said, I have tuna fish. This like noontime. I said, okay. So come nighttime, I says, are you going to come and eat with me? Or no, I got my own food. I said, what do you have? He said, I have tuna fish. I said, third day, I said, you know something? It's not going to work for us. He was a young guy full of pimples. And he was like a store clerk, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, nice kid, but...
But just eating tuna fish and had a lawn chair.
He had like a trash bag for saddlebag.
Yep.
A couple of those and...
Wow.
I said, so yeah.
He was really determined then, wasn't he?
He was really hardcore, you know?
Yeah, seriously, yeah. Though. Yeah.
So we were, you know, good friends with him. We just were all together. And,
yep.
Yeah.
Did you ever keep in touch with any of these people or correspond with people?
Yes, yeah.
Over
a lot of people helped me out along the way.
Yeah.
Stories that I had some cards printed up with my name on it,
mm-hmm.
and my address, but no phone number, just my, so people that helped me out, I'd give them, and to get their address and their phone number, and we would correspond. I don't anymore, kind of sorry I don't, but I sent them a copy of, I made a story of all the, about 9 pages. I sent everyone a copy of that.
Oh,
my daughter made me some copies.
Nice.
I said, yeah. So they sent me back saying, what are you doing now? You know, and I tell them, you know. And
that's
so
really great.
It was kind of nice, you know.
And what time of year was that that you
left
Bar?
May 1st.
May 1st,
my first trip, yeah.
And then how long did it take you on that first trip?
It took me like 100 days, a little over 3 months.
Yep. And where did you end? Where was the finish line?
In Seattle.
Yeah, okay, yep.
Yeah.
So did you get all the way to Pacific or just Puget Sound or... Did you?
No, I went to Seattle. Yep. I spent about maybe 10 days before I got there. I figured I'd make reservations on the train to come back, Amtrak.
Yep.
So I made reservations for like 10 days for that time, or more than 10 days. So I got there 8 days early. So I spent a couple of days in Vashon Island.
Oh, yeah?
It's a little island off the coast.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take a ferry to go there. So... I spent the night at a youth hostel right by the Pike's Market where they get the fish dealer.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And but the third night, everything was booked. We had to leave because they had a ball game at the
the Mariners, the Seahawks.
It was the Mariners, yeah.
Oh yeah, Mariners. Yeah.
So had to leave. Everybody had to leave.
Yeah.
So I said, where can I go? She said, you can go to where there's a hostel on Vashon Island, take the ferry over. And so I spent about 3 days there, came back on the hostel, and yeah.
It sounds like a fun experience.
Yeah.
Did at any point during the 100 days, did you think that you might bail on it?
No. When I called my daughter, when I entered Montana, it was a hot day, it was a Sunday, and I took a nap on the sidewalk next to a casino, and it was vacant, though. It's just a small place.
Yeah.
And I woke up, and I just felt like I'm tired, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy in the casino saw me, come over, he bought some coffee for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that gave
So I called my daughter and said, I'm tired today. And then she related that, like, she called my wife, said, Dad's going to quit. He said, almost done. And when I got back, she says, you almost quit. I said, no, I just didn't feel like I was tired. It was hot.
Yeah. Just had one of those days, but you weren't quitting. Yeah.
I'm not quitting.
when you got out there to the finish and finished your ride, was it Was it, were you excited to be done with it?
Yeah.
Or was it anticlimactic?
Yeah, kind of glad.
Yeah, you were glad. Yeah, okay. I was going
to
say.
And I got to the youth hostel in Seattle, and there was a lady that checked you in. I said, I need a big, big hug. I just finished
up. Oh, yeah.
She came on the car and gave me a big hug. And
yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of.
I can imagine it must have been a little emotional, right?
It Getting was. Getting there and yeah, just after like, all that writing. It's done. It's over.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah.
Now what? You
Something
know?
You've been talking about for 10 years.
Yeah.
Almost, right?
So. 10 years later, I went the southern route. And
So when you rode the train back, so you rode all the way back to Maine on the train, on Amtrak.
Back to Boston, yeah.
Did, as you were riding back, you know, so much faster than you were riding the other way.
Yeah.
Did it really like sort of get into your mind what a trip you'd just been on?
Yeah.
You know, the comparison, I would imagine, was pretty big.
As I was biking the last couple of weeks, there's a train that went by, and when he see me, he toot the horn. I'd wave, and the next day I see, wow, toot the horn again.
Oh, yeah.
On the way back, I didn't, it was me that was.
Oh, you were on the train. Yeah. Yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, so you were 70 at that time then?
Oh, 70, yeah.
You're 70.
Yeah.
And then you said, you were just starting to say, you did it again, but the southern route? When did you ride it the second time?
I rode from St. Augustine, Florida.
Yep.
I was going to San Diego.
Yep.
I got as far as Comfort, Texas. I fell off my bike. I wasn't really hurt. I mean, sore ribs, but my ego was hurt.
You know?
Well, it was a stupid thing. I fell getting on the bike.
Oh, really?
It was a slanted driveway.
Yeah.
And right outside the motel.
Really?
From that motel, I got up, and when I got on the bike, I just kept going and tipped over and bent the wheel of the bike. Couldn't ride anymore.
Oh, no.
It's a little town, like, you know, like 500 people, you know.
Wow. So, did that end your ride then?
Yeah.
That was it, huh?
Yeah. And so I got up, and after I fell, and the owner of the motel, I didn't register. You asked what you want a biker special.
Yeah.
They said, what's that mean? Well, the lower price. I'm not going to play golf. I'm not going to tennis. And it's like $75. That's, well, if I give you 40 cash, you take it. And I show up the 20s, they take it every time.
Yeah, that's good.
So
it's a good trick.
When I fell, he came out kind of worried that I'm going to sue the guy. I didn't register. What was I doing there? So he gave me some ice pack, and he was kind of nice to me, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So
so then you had to plan basically to return. Did you try to make it happen that you would continue, or you at that point you were just done?
But I couldn't ride the bike.
Yeah.
And it was tough. It was the hardest. It was a ill-prepared trip.
Was it? Yeah.
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 I didn't have any sleeping bag or tent. I motelled it all the way.
Really? Yeah.
And there's not always a motel nearby, you know?
Right, yeah.
Sometimes you have to.
When you're in the middle of Texas and you've got hundreds of miles between the town, right?
So it's kind of a bad. I didn't plan it well, you know?
Did you start off that ride with anybody else, or was that solo
the
whole
time? Yeah. I drove to St. Augustine. I had a little camper. I drove down.
Yep. And at that point, your family all knew that you could do it whatever. So did they still try to talk you out of riding solo?
No. It was low key. Oh, you want to go? Okay. You know.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I left here Valentine's Day.
Yep.
February.
Yep. That's really great. So I would imagine that was a lot hotter ride going.
Yeah,
to Southern
it's hotter
route,
ride.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hotter ride and a lot of dogs out Mississippi and Louisiana that they just. Not leashed, you know, they're just like...
Yep. Getting chased by...
Junkyard dogs.
Yeah, sure, yeah. I mean, I remember growing up, we grew up out in the country, and there were certain houses that had dogs that weren't leashed, and we would sneak up on the house, and then as soon as we got there, we'd pedal fast as we could to get past them and hope they wouldn't catch us, you know.
I had some spray weed, some what called halt.
Oh, yeah, sure, and, I remember that.
I figured if I spray a dog, the dog should go back to his house. The owner's coming after me with a shotgun. I'm going to pay for that.
Yeah, so right.
I really didn't do that, you know. But I had it in case.
Just worst case scenario. You had it.
I shouldn't have even brought it in, but I figured, oh well, I'm ready, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And so In between those 10 years from when you did the northern route and then the southern route, did you continue to ride quite a bit around Maine?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever participate in any long rides in Maine?
I did the trek across Maine 18 times.
You did, yeah. Yeah. Wow, that's great.
And did a few of the, what they call the MS ride, mm-hmm. way back then.
Yep.
Did three or four of those.
Yep.
Did the Dempsey now.
Yep, you do, yeah.
And I'm the oldest guy in the Dempsey.
No kidding. Oh, that's
and
great.
Patrick Dempsey bought me a new bike about four or five years ago.
No kidding, yeah. Really? Wow, what a guy. That's really nice.
His sister, Mary.
Yep.
She's a nurse. She was at the, my daughters would run on Saturday, my three daughters, yep. And I'd go watch them run. You know, I'd take my bike, I'd follow them. So one Saturday, Mary told her brother that, "That's your guy you see every year." He said, What? So he had me on the stage and talked to me a while and said, "I'm going to buy you a new bike. See, come tomorrow, I'll have a new bike for you."
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. He advertises for Specialized bikes.
Yep.
So my kids were like, "Wow, he's going to have them autograph it." You know, they were all crazy.
Yeah.
So on Sunday morning, the mayor's there and Bill Green from Portland's there, yep. And a lot of people. And so here's a new bike. It was a kind of bike that you ride, maybe.
Yeah.
A 10-speed, not 10-speed, but
yep.
A real light bike. And I says, "Patrick," I says, "I can't really ride that bike."
Really?
"What's going on? You're the old guy here." I says, I am the old guy here.
Right.
He says, I can't take it. I couldn't take it and sold it for three times what you gave me. So he got me a regular mountain bike.
Yep, yep. So a more upright bike.
Yeah, a regular, yep. About a month later, yeah.
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 Wow,
that was such a kind gesture, though, for him to do that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, kind of nice.
And a little hilarious, you know, that you couldn't actually ride the bike that he bought, but, you know, but it worked out.
I saw him
out.
A couple of years ago at a Patrick Dempsey ride. I said, "Remember me? I'm the guy you gave my bike." He said, "I did." He didn't know.
Oh, really? He didn't quite remember, huh?
He didn't know.
Yeah. Well, that's really. Did you ride it this year?
Excuse me?
Did you ride the Dempsey Challenge this year? You did.
I haven't missed a year yet. Yeah.
Really? Wow, that's great.
I put a sign in the back of my shirt. The oldest. I put down my age.
Really? You do. And what is your age right now? How old are you right now?
They've had like 11 years.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yep. And what's your age right now?
91.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. For a second, I was second guessing
92
myself. 92
next month.
Oh, right on. Yep. Well, happy early birthday. Thank you. So, you know, do you have any plans for any rides this summer that are you mostly just ride from here mostly?
Yeah, mostly. Yeah.
And do you ride with other people?
Yeah. There's a couple of friends of mine that I have an e-bike now.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. And both of those people that, both of those guys bought an e-bike because they saw what I'm doing, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I ride with both of them at least once a week, twice a week.
Great.
We go to Rang Pond. It's like 11 miles. We bring a lunch, cook a hot dog there, we come back.
Oh, sounds great.
So it's a 25-mile day, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Which is good. That's a lot for me.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah.
It can be almost
easy for them. They're like 10 years younger than me, 15 years younger.
Yeah, you know? Sure. And how do you like that e-bike? Did it change?
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah. It really allows you to ride more.
It's a pedal-assisted bike. It's not one of those
throttle. Right.
You have to pedal.
You still have to pedal. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good for you.
I love it. I'll tell you something.
Yeah.
I've had two of them. That's my second one.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't ridden any of those e-bikes yet, but I have some friends who have them for more like transportation and things like that. They're going to work and stuff. You don't want to get all sweaty. And
you can go a lot of places where you were afraid to go, in hills. And
Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah,
I wouldn't go back to a regular bike.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for people who are, any age, but looking maybe to get into riding, or any advice from someone who's ridden their bike so long?
Just go easy and ride the trails if you can.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trails in the Scarborough area, as you know.
Yeah.
Maine does not have a lot of, it's coming, okay? Yeah. But there's no like 10, 12 mile, there's none that I know of, you know?
Yeah, there's not a lot of that. I know Vermont has a lot of it, though. Have you gone at all over into Vermont and ridden any of those? The rail trails over there?
Yeah.
Some of those are really... I know there's a section in the Lamoille Valley, and it's now 87 miles long.
Wow.
And it's all old rail bed, so I rode...
That's nice,
I rode like 40 or 50 miles of it, and it's just amazing. Goes through farmland. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Not many road crossings.
My sister lived in Ohio, and she lived in Fairborn.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd ride like 6 miles to Yellow Springs. There's like 100 miles there, like Cincinnati to someplace I don't even know where. It's all paved and through the woods. There's no streets at all. It's almost all straight shot.
Yeah.
And they got benches there and nice.
I know that in Maine here, they are trying to do more of the rail trail stuff. They're trying to connect Portland to like Bridgeton area, I think, and stuff. So hopefully they'll keep it going, you know.
Yeah.
I joined the Rails to Trails Conservancy and been trying to keep tabs on
things.
It's
a good way to start riding a bike.
It is.
You're not in any traffic.
Yep.
I have a bike rack in my car. I still do a bike to Scarborough sometime or, you know.
Yep. Did you ever get into anything like mountain biking in the 80s and 90s
no,
and stuff?
No, not really.
Yeah.
No.
Just always on the road mostly? Yeah. Yep. Just no interest in it, or was it just, that was just your thing?
I enjoy riding on the pavement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And I have a mirror on my helmet and a helmet, of course. And I'm not afraid in any traffic area.
Yep.
I have a mirror so I can see them. I tell people before they hit me, I can see them. But really, it's I wouldn't ride without it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of riding on the roads, so it's kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the smooth pavement, how fast it can be and things.
Yeah.
But I like being in the woods or on trails with no cars is my thing. You know?
Kind of nice.
It is, you know, to each their own, though, right?
Yeah.
So as long as we're riding bikes. So, So when you were out on any of these things, do you ever get lost while riding on these long rides? Okay. Yeah. Do you have any stories around getting lost?
Any what?
And any stories about getting lost?
Yes. I was lost once in Montana and I didn't know where I was. It was noontime, it was a hot day. So I rode this little town maybe 3 miles off the trail, but not knowing it was 3 miles. I daydream a lot. You know, when you're riding, you're all of a sudden, whoa, I should have turned back there 2 miles. So I get this little town, and it was like one grocery store, nothing else. So I walk in there, and there's a lady, just one person there, a lady, and she said, can I help you? I said, I'm so hungry, I don't have any more food left. She says, how about a nice pizza? She had a pizza oven with a, you know.
Yeah.
I said, oh, that doesn't really interest me right now. But she says, how about a nice chicken salad sandwich on whole wheat bread with a pickle? I said, wow, where do you get that? She said, just a minute. She goes out back with a tray, and it's a sandwich and a pickle. I said, wow, not thinking where she got it, okay? So I bought a bag of chips and a soda pop. When I went to pay... Meanwhile, we're talking about biking, you know. I said, how much do I owe you? Like $1.15? I says, wait a minute. How about the sandwich? She said, oh, that was my lunch.
Oh, no.
I said, oh, I ate your lunch? Don't worry. I called my husband. He's coming over with the kids, my two boys, and they're bringing me another lunch. And you can't leave till they see your bike, the kids. So the kids came, and they rang the bell, and had two water bottles. Which one do you like better? And they went crazy.
That's really amazing. So getting lost ended up becoming a...
Didn't bother me.
Nice experience meeting somebody, some kind people.
I got lost several times.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, there is something about, you know, getting lost often leads to something that, you know, you don't even know what it is.
Yeah,
and it ends
you don't
up being
care.
A great experience, right?
Yeah.
You got to go with the flow, you know?
Yeah,
And it probably was... before GPS, so lost was way easier to do. Yeah.
I didn't even have a cell phone. The guy that started with, he had a cell phone.
Okay, yeah.
When he left, the phone went with him. So I bought a phone card at the store.
Yep.
That's how we called them, my family.
And, yeah, sure. Yeah. Do you remember that lady's name that gave you her lunch?
No, I don't.
Just some nice lady out
there. I never got her name even.
Yeah, yeah.
But what a nice lady, you know?
I love that story.
It's a little town all by itself. And no one ever harassed me.
Yeah.
No one ever blew the horn, get me off the road.
Or right.
They would stop and offer me soda or water or bananas or something.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable how nice people were, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love the idea of just the being out by yourself, the solo riding, and then meeting people on the way, just how it can instill, like, your humanity in your life, right? And the generosity of people, you know?
When I was in the glaciers overnight, I asked a lady, there were three motels there, a big fancy one, a middle one, and a small one, all owned by the same lady. I didn't know same couple. Not knowing this, I walked to the main one because it was just the only place where you could register for all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "Do you have a biker special?" She thought I was kind of greasy. I hadn't shaved for a couple of days. And so she said, "Why?" So I'm on my bike and, you know, she says, like $135 for here, and gave me the prices. And I said, "Wow." She said, "I'll tell you what," she says, "for $35, you can spend at the lowest one, but you can do any of the facilities at the big one, like at a pool and sauna and everything here." So I spent the night there. Next, she told somebody there that this old man, I told her I was 70 years old, this old man is on the bike and he's almost done, you know. So next morning I have a continental breakfast in the big hotel. So this couple come to me and it says, "Have you seen this little guy on a bike?" I says, "You probably mean me." "Well, you're not the old guy." So the man owned a car dealership in Spokane.
Yeah.
And I was about maybe 100 miles away from maybe more, I don't remember. He says, "Are you going through Spokane?" He pronounced it Spokane, I think. I forget which is which.
Yeah.
He said, "When you go through there, there's no sidewalk through town. You have to go on the road. It's very dangerous." He says, "When you get near there, call me up. I'll get my truck, and I'll bring you across town." I says, "You will. It's okay." So maybe 2 days before I get to Spokane, I call him up. I says, "I'm near where you told me to stop."
Yep.
So he came after me, brought me across town.
He did.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
brought me breakfast. And
wow, that's fantastic. Yeah. And that was what, several days later after you saw him at the hotel?
Yeah, a week or so, a little while after, yeah.
And he came through on his promise.
Yeah.
That's really great. Did he try to sell you a car as you were driving?
No. No. And when I went to, I didn't have a cell phone. So I stopped at the motel before that to call him up. So I went to the motel, asked if I could use a phone. I asked him if they had a payphone.
Yep.
He says, "No." I said, "Can I use a phone to call somebody in Spokane?" He said, "This is a private phone. You're not allowed to use it." And I told him the story of why I'm doing it. He says, "Go right ahead."
Really?
So I called a guy. Yeah. His wife answered the phone. Yeah. She says, "Al, there's somebody here wants to talk to you."
That's
give one of my cards, so
he knew
who I was.
Yeah, that's funny how telling your story changes people's minds, right? You know, I mean, they don't want someone spending their long distance money. Then, you know,
one time I lost my wallet.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I forget where, maybe Montana. That's kind of a big state.
That's a scary feeling when you're by yourself.
And I always put my wallet in the same place in my front bag. I had a front saddlebag and a front handlebar bag along with rear bag. So I stopped at this little cafe to eat lunch. I couldn't find my wallet. I'd put it in a different bag. I didn't know it. I could not find my wallet. So I'm outside of this cafe, busy little street too, trying to find my wallet. So this couple comes in and says, "Well, what's the problem?" I said, "I can't find my wallet." He said, "You're coming with us, we'll treat you your breakfast."
Oh.
I said, not till I find my wallet. So I find my wallet. I walk in there. She said, "You put it away. We're treating you for breakfast."
Wow, that's great. Yeah. I mean, you must have been in a panic though, without finding your with your wallet missing though.
Yeah,
I would imagine
it was just almost every couple of days somebody stopped or helped me out or when I was lost or just unbelievable, you know.
So would you, for anybody who's never gone on a long ride before, I mean, it sounds like some advice might be to just sort of trust in people a little bit then.
Yeah.
Based on your experience.
And it's something else, too. When I started with this other man for 2 weeks, when we went to the store to get groceries and stuff, no one talked to us. We talked among each other.
Yep.
When I stopped going, when he left, everybody's talked to me.
Oh, really?
And I talked to everybody also.
Yeah.
It's just like two people together, they'll look at each other. What do you want this? Do you want Gatorade?
Right.
Where you don't. You didn't mix it at all with the locals, but being alone, I look around and I look for conversation.
Yeah,
just totally opposite, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's a really interesting aspect of that. Like the solo part really allows you to interact with people and be able to talk a little bit more. And probably it's more easier to approach you too when there's two people. Someone's not going to come up, but if it's just you, then be, hey, how are you, what are you doing, where are you from, you know, kind of thing, right? That's really interesting.
And I used to lock my bike before when this guy was with me. We would lock our bikes up, you know. After that, like, why, you know, who would steal a bike full of junk, you know? And I almost never locked it when I go to eat or whatever, you know.
Did you ever have any bad experiences, though, along the way?
Just once when I was leaving Niagara Falls.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Canada. And before the bridge to go across America, there was a rest stop. So I stopped to eat a lunch. And this huge guy, must have been 6'8" or something, and about 300 pounds on a bike, saw me. So he came right to me, and the first question was, what are you doing? I said, I'm biking across country. Then he says, how do you handle your money? Where do you keep your money? It's just like, whoa.
That's a scary question. Yeah.
I left. I said, I can't talk to you. I got on my bike, and I left my lunch there. I took off.
Really? Yeah.
Just
so no explanation why he asked that question, but it was.
I just put a red flag, like, hey, you know, oh yeah, like my bank, my money's right here, you know. Want to see it? You know, it just gave me a red flag right off the quick.
Yeah.
Where's your money? Like, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If anybody asks that question, it's definitely there's no good reason to ask that question. Yeah. I can think of. Right?
He didn't have any saddlebags. He was just a local guy.
Oh, sure.
And he looked kind of rough guy, you know.
Yeah, sure.
My room guy, maybe.
But that was like the worst experience your whole 100 days. Huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
No one ever. I'd stop. They'd ask me, "Where are you going?" Like when I got to Niagara Falls, I stopped there before at a rest stop next to a big dam, and two ladies, Italian ladies. Saw me, they come over and start talking to me, and they were about 2 days from Niagara Falls. They said, well, they were touring around, two older sisters, about my age. So they says, where are you going from here? I said, Niagara Falls. I said, well, we live there. When you get there, call us up, and there's a youth hostel there, which I took it. We'll come get you, and we'll treat you a nice evening meal.
Oh, nice.
So I said, great idea. So I gave my card, and so I went to the youth hostel in Niagara Falls. And so I called them up, and it was raining. So they came after me, and those two girls, they were sisters, they lived nearby. One had a boyfriend, so she brought her boyfriend. And I was the boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. So,
supposedly.
Yeah, right.
Because when they got done, they had a nice spaghetti dinner.
Yeah, sure.
The one that brought me, picked me up, the other one said, no, you're not taking her back. I am.
So she was really making a move, huh?
Yeah. but she didn't trust her sister. I don't know what it's like. Right. But there's four of us. They're like, we're like.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I mean, I can just see these kind of scenarios where you're sitting, I mean, you're, at any point when you started off on this ride, on this 100-mile ride, did you expect to meet so many nice people along the way?
I didn't expect to, no. Yeah. I thought I'd be having, you know, difficulty. And
yep.
In fact, on my second ride, when I was in the Florida Panhandle, I stopped for lunch at a big truck stop. So I'm sitting down at a little table, and a couple tables over, there was three guys. And so they come over and talk to me. One guy says, "Are you packing?" I'm thinking, not knowing what packing means.
Right.
I said, "What do you mean packing?" "Well, you know, a gun." I said, "No, I don't have a gun." He said, "You'll need it." Like, they were trying to sell me a gun.
Oh, jeez.
Surprised after. I said, "No. Oh, you got to have a gun." He says, "You know, that's not."
No, and it was the opposite experience for you.
It's against the law. A lot of states.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you ended up having the opposite experience where people were so friendly to you. It was the opposite of needing protection, right? Everyone was helping you.
Everybody was friendly and and always wanted to buy me things. Like, yeah, sure.
I mean, that helps you get down the road farther, right?
Yeah.
No cans of tuna for you. What was your most memorable or favorite spot that you saw on your ride? Like most beautiful spot or.
I think in Montana was a lot. Again, the map showed a rest stop with a restaurant about a mile off the road.
Mm-hmm.
I was maybe a week, 10 days from my destination. So it's a Sunday morning. For some reason, Sunday morning. So I got there about 8 o'clock in the morning, and the place is deserted. There's a store. The only store there, it's closed.
Yeah.
Sunday morning. So it's also a bar room, okay?
Yeah.
And a grocery store. And a
everything you need in a small town.
So I lay down on a picnic table outside of this bar, okay? I fell asleep. And so a while after, the owner and his wife, they live across the street, okay? She saw me. So I woke up. I could hear walking along on the pavement. So she got close. She says, she raised both hands. She says, "Jesus sent me to invite you over for breakfast." I said, "Whoa." I says, "Hooray for Jesus." So she came over and talked to me for a while. And as we were walking back to her house, she said, "That's my husband in the window. He's got the shade open to see if I'm all right." I said, "There goes Jesus." I said, So her son lived in Seattle.
Yeah.
She said, "When you get there, call him up."
Oh, no kidding.
"He'd love to meet you."
Yeah.
He's working in a motel someplace. And so her name was Ann Campbell. Okay. This is so funny because she was a very Christian lady. She said, "Do you have a Bible?" I said, "No, I don't have a Bible." She said, "I'm going to give you a Bible." I says, "Okay."
You couldn't say no.
She brought me a breakfast.
Sure,
gonna,
yeah, right.
"So you want ham and eggs?" So, "Yeah, that's good." So she says, "How are you getting back?" I said, "I'm going back by Amtrak. I got reservations for that particular day." She said, "Well, it goes right by here. When you come through with an Amtrak, wave to us."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like I'm in a train, the back of her car. Of her. That's all. If I see you, I'll wave.
Yeah, right.
So when I got to Seattle, I didn't want to bother anybody. So anyway, so on the way back, past her place, about 100 miles, they had the train stop and changed the crew.
Yep.
Okay? So maybe a half hour, 40 minutes before they did this, did that, load another thing. Everybody went outside. It was a hot day. So I stayed inside in the lounge car with a glass ceiling and air condition. And so Ann Campbell and her husband were at the restaurant. They know where it stopped, waiting for me.
No way,
yeah.
Really?
Honest to God, I didn't know that. So when people came in, the porter that had a sleeper, okay, cabin, says, "Someone's looking for you." I says, "Who's looking for me?" Says, "Campbell? Somebody Campbell." Says, "And they left a package for you."
Wow.
They made me a jar of corn syrup and a statue of a moose, a brown.
Yeah.
So it's all wrapped up. And she said, "They look for you, and we look all over the train for you. Where were you?" I says, "I was in the lounge car."
Oh, wow.
Oh, they were so disappointed.
Oh, it's too bad.
Yeah.
Oh, It was, they were right there. That's amazing that they came to try to find you again. Yeah. Now.
They know where they stop.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, yeah.
About 100 miles away. I mean, like, what?
Yeah. Wow. So did you ever try to reach out to them?
Yeah. I called them up.
You did,
says, you know, yeah. I had no idea you were there. And
yeah.
I apologize. And
well, I mean, it wasn't really, it wasn't
still
your fault.
You have the Bible. But... Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not sure I did, but.
Yeah, right. Sure. Wow. That's amazing, though. Yeah. I mean, for them to track you down, that's that's something else, you know?
They were very, very Christian, you know, like. Yeah. Said a prayer before I had my breakfast.
Sure,
you know? Sure. Of course, yeah.
You're in their house, yeah, they're making your breakfast. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they were very, very nice. Very, yeah. When she said Jesus came over, Jesus told me to come and get you for breakfast. Like, whoa.
Can't argue with that then.
Hooray for Jesus, you know.
Especially after the store was closed, right?
Yeah,
so, you know, it worked out. It worked out all right. So.
Probably some others there that, I was all alone in the campground. I'm not sure where, but it was past Michigan. You had to go about 5 miles on dirt road to get to a campground. And the campground had a swimming hole, but it was a man-made hole with kind of muddy water.
Yeah.
But the people there swimming and picnicking, but it's also a campground, okay? So I was the only camper there. So 5 o'clock, everybody's gone. They locked the gate. So I'm the only person in there.
Wow.
And I'm there's nowhere, there's nothing nearby. There's an outhouse, okay? So I'm there like, it was getting dark. I said, I'm all alone here. What if something happens, you know?
Sounds a little creepy.
Yeah. And so as I had decided to not put my tent, sleep on the table with a, you know, with a mattress pad.
Yep.
And I said, if I hear noise, I'm going to head for the outhouse. But all night long, I slept with one eye open. It was all like, wow. You hear noises all night, you know, but nothing.
Once your brain gets going.
Yeah, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Hear a little noise. But it was just noise, and nothing ever bothered me.
Yeah, but it still sounds pretty creepy, though.
Yeah, it was creepy. It was so when I left at about 6:30 in the morning, gate was closed. It was locked up. So I had to go around the gate with my bike in the bushes and get out of there.
Yeah.
Then it'll open, you know. Until maybe 9 o'clock, I don't know.
Yep.
I didn't know that. It was locked up.
And you and never looked back. You just hit the road and never went back. No. So you're not gonna recommend that camping spot anyway.
No, not for overnight camping.
Yeah. Maybe for the daytime, right?
It was a very small hole, maybe 100 yard wide circle and looked kind of muddy. But it's the only place around. There are people swimming.
When it's a hot day.
Picnicking,
it's better than nothing.
But the woods was cool.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it sounds like a heck of a time. I mean, I can just imagine in 100 days all of these stories that transpired. Are there any other stories you want to share on the mic while we're still got some time left?
What's that?
Any other stories you wanted to share while we're still on the mic?
When I was in Lake Erie, New York.
Yep.
On a Saturday. It was raining and it was cold. I mean, cold. I was freezing. And the area was all million-dollar homes. Nothing you see around here, you know? So I've been in this main drag. I'm looking around for a garage so I can get out of this rain. This couple go by in the car. They live nearby. They put their window down and said, you want to come to our house? I says, yeah, just follow me. So I follow them. So I get to their house. They had a big garage there. They had a. Said, we're going to have a cookout steak. She said, while we're gone, you can take a shower. There's a sauna up there. You can turn it on. And you'll be the only person here, but it's okay.
Wow.
We're going to go to the store. I said, you want a big steak? I said, look, I'm the beggar here. Whatever you offer, I'm going to take. You know? Yeah, but you want a big steak. And I said, get whatever you want. So it says, if while we're gone to the store, if my daughter comes in sometimes and sees you here, tell her who you are, you know, show us your bike. So next morning I get up, had my own room with jacuzzi, real nice, you know.
Yeah.
So I get up in the morning and I smelled bacon cooking. They had a pound of bacon in a big fry pan. I said, oh, you're expecting company? No, that's for you. Like, I'm eating a pound of bacon. Had a couple of eggs and home fries. And
wow.
Yeah.
They really did it up.
Yeah, and there were a couple of bakers themselves.
Oh, they were?
Big-time
okay.
bakers, yeah.
So that's why they connected with you. Yeah,
they connected with that. Yeah. They were well off, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice place. And trusting. They didn't know. Gonna,
sure, yeah, yeah, yeah. They probably could suss you out, you know, and, yeah, and get a sense of who you were. And, yeah, you know, that's pretty amazing. I imagine it was, that spot might have been a little bit tougher to leave, though, huh? You might have been like, oh, maybe one more day here,
yeah,
right?
I've contacted them a couple of times. And
you have, yeah.
Talked to them, yeah. See, if ever you come back here, call us up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Probably not.
did you think you inspired them to go on any long rides or anybody else?
Probably not. Yeah. You know, they were determined to do riding, but by themselves with groups.
Sure,
know?
Yeah, yeah. But either way, that's pretty great.
I've done
a lot
of week-long bike rides, mm-hmm, in like Florida, Tennessee, okay, Louisiana, and Canada,
yep,
for a whole week. And
yep.
Big truck carries your tent. That was nice.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That sounds pretty nice.
Yeah, did a lot of those.
Yeah. Have you ridden bikes at all outside of the country besides Canada?
No, 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 no. My friend Charmaine, she's a bike. She used to bike 16 miles to work every morning,
wow,
in D.C.
Gee, yeah.
And I talk all the time.
I'm looking forward to getting her on the microphone at some point.
Yeah.
She says she might come up to Maine at some point, so yeah, maybe we can connect.
She was a nice lady.
Yeah, yeah. She seems it. I mean, for someone to connect the two of us, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's been really a pleasure sitting down talking to you today.
She has three or four bikes. She has a couple of folding bikes, Brompton, and then
yep,
another one, and she goes to Germany, Italy, and she's gone.
She wrote a book too, didn't she?
What?
Did she write a book as well?
Not that I know.
No, okay, maybe I'm thinking of somebody else on that.
She
one,
wants but... me to write a book as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, right, right.
No, she's a nice lady, good friend.
Yeah, that's really great.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've been talking for a while now. I feel like we've got some good stories on the microphone. You feeling okay? We're good to.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Any last stories you wanted to share? I don't want to cut you short because these have been fantastic stories.
One time I was in, forget where I was, probably Montana, but I cracked my rear rim on the bike,
mm-hmm,
not realizing that I should not have most of my weight in the back panniers.
Mm.
I did have, and I was riding along, and my rim cracked. 70 miles from Dead River or river, some river place.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the map, there's nothing around. So I hitchhike, and this lady stopped in a big Cadillac. She says, can I help you? I said, I need a ride to this place, Devil Lake. I forget the name anyway. She said, I'll take you there, but she said, I can't take your bike. My bike's not going. I'm not going.
Right.
So she left. So about 20 minutes later, this pickup truck, it was all back roads now, okay? Pickup truck goes by, very, very, he's going in my direction, but he stopped and kind of looked at me slowly, and I'm waving like, hey, you know, and he just kept on going. Oh, shucks, what, you know.
Yeah, missed
all by himself.
Yeah.
So about 10 minutes later, he comes back, not realizing it was him. He stopped and says, can I help you? I said, you can, but you're going the wrong way. No, I was here a while ago, and you waved to me. And,
oh,
yeah. I said, what's happening? I said, my rim broke, you know, and said, well, put your bike in my pickup, and I'll take you there. I said, wow. He lives in 70 miles away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Literally.
He was just cruising around.
Where you were going.
Yeah. He's a recovering alcoholic.
Yeah.
He lost his wife, lost his house.
Oh, jeez.
He lost everything. He's kind of a... So, and he works for a beer company.
Oh, wow. Ironic.
So we went out for supper that night.
And, yeah.
And they fixed my... I bought a new rim, new tires. And they couldn't do it that day, so I spent the night in a Dace Motel nearby.
Yeah.
And next morning, I walked over and got my bike and... Yeah.
And you redistributed the weight, put up more of the weight on the front panniers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Smarter than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that the biggest mechanical breakdown you had then, the whole ride?
The what?
Was that the biggest mechanical breakdown?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, it sounds
probably
like...
the only time I needed help, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty amazing for 100, I mean, for 100 days.
Yeah.
I only had that one thing happen. Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy was... I always questioned why he was... cruising around so far from his house by himself, or, you know, just, but I mean, not my business. You're
right.
So.
Right. Totally. Yeah, right. Well, maybe he was out there just because he, you know, just to get some headspace, you know, and just.
Yeah, he was dating another former alcoholic. Okay. He goes to So I'm going to a meeting tonight or tomorrow night. He says, I'm going to tell him the story about picking you up.
Oh, there you go.
It'll be the main story of the night. Yeah. I did a good deed, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So,
I mean, you did.
There's the reason he was out there driving around. Yeah. He didn't know it yet, but when he found you, that was the reason. You know?
So. He's sort of nice. One of my good stories. Well, they're all good stories. They're all stories, people that helped me out. And one time I was in the, I passed by a Mennonite farm stand, Amish country.
Yep.
And there was no motels, there's no campground, there's nothing nearby. So there was a couple ladies outside there, you know, with the bonnets on and the long aprons. And I says, could I spend the night on your lawn out back? She says, what do you mean I'll spend the night? I said, I'm a Catholic. Well, she said, Catholics will never get to heaven. You know that, don't?
I said,
well, maybe they don't. But, so the husband of one of the women heard me, comes over, he says, can I help you? I said, I'm looking for a place to spend the night. He says, spend the night right in my backyard. He says, put your bike in my barn in case it rains. So I put my tent up there, and the ladies came, and they looked at me, says, are you all set for supper? I thought they'd make some bread or something, you know?
Yeah.
So I said, no, I'm all set. So, okay. They didn't invite me in.
Really? Yeah.
I'm a Catholic.
Well, at least you got the place to sleep. But it's funny how, you know, sometimes it doesn't quite work out, but, you know.
Yeah, it's okay. They provided that. He did. And the woman would have no part of it.
Yeah, I'm sure he got an earful, right?
Yeah, you know? He did. I think he was the boss.
Yeah. Probably best you stayed out of the house that night.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Yeah. Well, do you have any more advice for anybody out there that's looking to ride bikes?
I'd say if you're going to be riding your bike for the first time, or ride a bike trail where, like I mentioned before, there's no traffic. There's usually more people on a bike trail that could help you than on a city street. I think that's pretty good advice.
Yep, that's great. Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Or ride with somebody, too, that knows more about bikes than you do.
Yeah. Is there anybody out there that you want to say hi to on the microphone?
Charmaine, for one. And
of course, yeah.
Nobody else I know. But my kids will all hear about this, I'm sure.
All right,
when
great.
When I tell them how to reach you and...
Yeah, we'll share all that information, and hopefully you'll be able to listen to it and hear some of these stories. You know, I'm assuming they've maybe heard some of these stories before, but, you know, they can share it with other people, and that's how this whole thing works. So.
I got relatives in Florida, Tennessee, and Ohio. They're going to be hearing about this.
Great.
They all saw it. I was on TV back in April.
Yep.
They all saw that. I didn't know it, but they did.
Yeah, I'll put a link to the TV thing on the website too, so people can watch that as well if they listen to this podcast.
When can they start seeing that?
They'll be able. This will probably be out in August sometime. And I'll let you know when it's ready
give
to
me
go.
A call.
So
we can.
Yeah,
I want to see it.
Yeah, I'll give you a call. Yeah. Well, thanks for your time today. Thanks for letting me sit down here at your
My
kitchen
pleasure.
Table. Thanks for the lemonade. It's been a nice hot day, lemonade and everything. And, you know, I wish you the best. Maybe we can go for a ride down in Scarborough sometime.
Next
time you're down there.
Yeah,
so
that'd be nice.
I'd like that. It'd be a lot of fun. So, Well, anybody out there, if you have any stories you want to share, you can, as always, track me down on the website at iRideABike.com or follow along on social media at iRideABike. And, keep following along as I plan out season 5, which should be out sometime later in the fall or early winter. And enjoy the rest of your summer. And as always, ride safe and ride happy.
There you go.
Take me back to the times when we would grab our bikes and ride the days into the night. Though our eyes would soon be open for the moment we were golden.
This has been a production of iRide LLC. For more information, please visit iRideABike.com. Theme song by Spencer Albee. Want to hear more? Enter @SpencerAlbee on socials and streaming platforms.